Congressman Richie Neal is probably the second most important person after Speaker Pelosi in the United States House of Representatives. Sometimes we call it the Congress for short. Richie Neal, I saw your picture in the paper with a whole bunch of congressmen, but who is standing right next to Speaker Pelosi? You are, sir. And I am so delighted that you're with us and have made this time, because I know, you know, some people forget who you are. I remember I used to interview Bernie Sanders all the time. But now, when? So you're there with us, and we very much appreciate it.
Oh, I'm happy to do it.
So tell us about the Mueller report. What do you think?
Well, I think it confirmed the first charge that we have suggested all along, that there was massive Russian interference in the election. I think that that becomes very clear. I think there was an effort made to come to the aid of President Trump during the election, and the Mueller report certainly confirmed it. I don't think that there's any doubt about that any longer. I think the second thing that it confirmed was that on at least 10 occasions, the president attempted to shade the outcome of the Mueller report by instructing underlings in the administration to take positions that were contrary to the ones that they professionally felt that they could embrace. And I think example number one is probably his counsel, by the way, counsel not for him personally, but counsel, McGahn, who suggested at one point when the president told him to stop taking notes, which, as you know, anytime you've ever been in the room with an attorney in a high-stakes arena, lawyers take notes. And I thought McGahn's response, by the way, was a sound one when he said, "I'm a real lawyer."
After Trump had talked about the disbarred Roy Cohn, one of the most despicable men in the history of this country, as a great lawyer.
That's exactly right.
Amazing. So that's fascinating. There's a subpoena out now to get McGahn, who you just referenced, to come before the House. I have a theory. Tell me I'm wrong, which everybody always does, which is that the reason that you have to subpoena him is because he wants to come, but he needs to have a reason for coming, a legal reason.
Well, yeah, I think that's the case. And I also think for him, there's a professional moment here that he should not try to avert. And that is an effort, I think, that he could undertake that would, I think, untarnish his reputation. And I think that in this instance here, there's a chance for him to clear the air under oath in front of the Judiciary Committee, and to talk about the intimate conversations that he had with the president as it related to the Mueller report and the Mueller investigation. We had 2 years and $30 million of examination by a prosecutor who is well-regarded, former U.S. attorney here in Massachusetts as well, and head of the FBI. And I think that what Mueller did was to write an encompassing report. He did acknowledge that while there was no collusion, that there also was a test case here for the possibility of obstruction of justice. And the report highlights a number of times in which Mueller believes that the president at least went close to the line on obstructing justice. So I think that the effort that's going to be made in the House of Representatives is really critical to understanding all of what really happened. And here's a reminder, because I think that You were onto something earlier this morning when I was listening. Democrats control one half of one third of the federal government. So I think that what we have an opportunity to do in the House is to provide clarity to the Mueller report and to have a chance for these witnesses under oath to offer testimony under the magnifying glass that will draw attention to what caused them to reach the decision that they did at a particular moment. And I believe that these hearings will go on for weeks, and my hunch is that they will again will offer some sunshine.
Now, there are those people in the party, you know it and I know it, who are saying, you know, impeach him. It doesn't matter that we won't convict in the Senate. So impeach him now. And people are very frustrated over that. But what you're saying here, at least seems to me, Richie, is do the investigation. Have Nadler do his thing. You'll do your thing with the taxes, which you've heroically, in my mind, pursued. And if it comes out that there's no way out, you know, other than an election, you'll impeach.
Exactly. And I think that for us, not to get too far out ahead of the information that we're attempting to procure is a very good idea. I recall what happened during the Clinton impeachment.
Yep.
And if you remember where that started and where it ended, when Bill Clinton left the White House, more than two-thirds of the American people approved of him because they thought that the prosecutor and the Republicans, and to an extent the media, had overdone it. And I think the result was that we picked up seats in an off-year election, if you recall, which was unheard of in recent American history for a president in the sixth year of his term to actually win seats in the House. And so I think that the voters thought that the allegations against Clinton were disproportionate to the proposed penalty. So you have to be very careful as you go here. And on the tax return front, I have proceeded methodically, very carefully, based upon the advice of House counsel, who has suggested to me time and again to refrain from any emotional commentary and really stick to the law.
And the law is that you are entitled to see those tax returns. You are specifically named in the law.
The law is very clear. It says, upon request, the president shall. Not maybe, not what if, the word shall. Turn those forms over to the Ways and Means Committee.
Let me switch, because you're my go-to guy on things Irish and Irish politics. You know more about this than anybody I know. Now, we see a journalist being murdered over there. A lot of people are thinking that this is, because of Brexit, that this is a portends things to come. What do you make of it?
Well, Brexit is very dangerous, I think, to the peace process, because there are those in the Conservative Party who are really threatening to, as they undo their exit from European Union, they are suggesting that as part of it, they could revisit the issue of the Good Friday Agreement, because recall that as part of the Good Friday Agreement, that the only place where there's a border between the land border between the United Kingdom and any other place is in the north of Ireland. So there was a murder, a really fine woman. We were just leaving Derry as that happened. And I think that it calls attention to the fact that while some of the violence now is really sporadic, it's also pretty limited. But this was a random act. It wasn't anything that was planned. It was just somebody who shot and they happened to hit her. And I think that she was a first-class journalist and a first-class human being. But I think that there are those still on both sides of this historic divide who are not satisfied with the Good Friday Agreement, which I think is one of the great achievements of American diplomacy during the last 50 years.
Jim McGovern in the 2nd District, only got a minute or so here, is backing Elizabeth Warren for president. You actually introduced me to her back in Great Barrington. What do you have to say about her candidacy?
I mean, I like her very much. I think she's good. I think she's done a lot of substantial work in putting out pretty sophisticated proposals. She's a friend of mine, and I certainly wish her well. I've talked to her about her candidacy and given her advice on a couple of occasions when she's asked me. So it's a very good relationship that I've always had with her. I think that part of the challenge I have professionally is because of the committee that I chair, I'm in a position where I'm going to have to work with whoever the Democratic nominee is, because I hope that they'll become the Democratic not only candidate for president, but the victorious candidate. So she has called. We've talked a couple of times, and I've made some suggestions to her, and she's embraced them enthusiastically.
Always great to talk to Richie Neal. I'm proud you're my congressman, Richie, so thank you for doing that. One last question. I've been criticized for calling you Richie when Richard is your full name. What's the answer on that one?
Richie works fine.
Okay. Congressman Richie Neal is from Massachusetts 1st District. He's been in office since 1989. He's the chairman of the very powerful Ways and Means Committee, and I'm proud of him. Thanks for being with us. When we come back the next time, I got more to ask you.
Thank you, Alan.